Hey, welcome back to the Geeks Chase Media Boy Live.
It's me, Joe.
And so, I didn't know the release schedule for this show. By the time of this recording, I think we should have just waited for Invincible, but we never talked about Invincible. But basically, we're going to talk about your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. The show.
I was about to say, like, you're gonna need to be specific. Are we talking about?
There are some comics that have that name.
Yeah. So the new Disney Plus show, which was originally supposed to be like the MCU Spider-Man pilot, like prequel kind of, but it's not that anymore. It's like its own separate thing outside of the MCU, right?
Yeah, it's its own little thing, but you can So it was originally supposed to be that of a prequel, like freshman year, sophomore year, because it's called freshman year, but then it changes to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Because as it went, they kind of started realizing they're doing their own thing, and so they kind of just went that way, and you kind of feel it as you go along, especially considering how some characters are kind of not a one-to-one representation. There's a character in there, and I'm like, she's kind of supposed to be sort of Gwen slash MJ, but that's not who that character's going to be, because that character is still a character from the comics who has her own thing going on.
Yeah,
you guys will know who I'm talking about in a minute. But yeah, they kind of ended up doing their own thing. But I do like, I'll say this, is before we start talking about the show as it is, because I watched all the episodes that were released at this moment, because at first we thought it was going to just be 3 to 4 episodes.
Yeah, because I believe it premiered as of the date of this recording last week.
Yeah.
With just the first two episodes.
Yeah.
So I think we all assumed, much like how I think a lot of the Disney shows often do on Disney Plus or whatever, of like, you start with like maybe one or two episodes, and then you release one every week or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Not the case.
No, we did not plan for this.
Yeah, like three episodes freaking dropped at like this for this week, and it's like, oh, all right, well.
All right, we're going in hard. All right.
Yeah.
Because X-Men was one episode a week, wasn't it?
I believe it was. I think it was the first two episodes, and then it was one a week.
Yeah.
So it's definitely interesting. I only got to watch three episodes before this recording this podcast. So
I don't blame you.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, all right, well, I mean, we were supposed to record today. How am I supposed to fit all these other episodes? Okay, fine. Just trying to figure out how much time I need to spend.
So we're just mainly going to talk about the show as it is. We're not going to really talk about all the episodes. But more or less, how is the show progressing? Because I think it's supposed to be like a 12-episode show. So we're basically at the halfway point.
About to be, right? Because
the
episode 5? Yeah.
Really just talking about like how the story is kind of, so like for me, one of the things I liked about it is that you can still see the shades of what it's meant to be, like MCU Spider-Man, but like they kind of use that as more of like a place for people to have a grasp.
Right. Yeah. Like a general, like, okay, here's the scenario, right? Like, but it's playing out a bit differently.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So, like, I mean, there's that one moment in the first episode where it plays like a shot for shot of, you know, Tom Holland Spider-Man's introduction to the MCU.
Yeah, it even has the same like backdrop music as that scene.
Yeah, and like it's so, and that's how you knew. It was like, you guys, you know, I think it's supposed to play on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the show's charm, is that it's supposed to play on that, the idea that you know it's something familiar, but there's something drastically different, which is kind of works in its own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I really enjoyed just how they characterize Peter. You know?
Right.
It's, there's this moment in the first episode that really, like, yeah, that's Peter. That's Peter to a T, and that's who Peter tends to be. It's the moment where, and everyone's talked about this scene already, but it's because it was the first episode, how he, like, stopped a mugger, but, like, pleaded with the storekeeper, like, just let her go. She's having a rough day.
Yeah, like it, you know, it's, yeah, this person's on our luck. Peter more or less just vouches for her, hey, listen, she just, you know, she's on her, you know, not having the best day. She made a mistake. Can you just, like, let her go for now? I mean, obviously, you still return the money, but very much of, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Even he tells the mugger lady, like, hey, you know, don't make me regret this, right? Like, just do better, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things of, like, of, understanding, yeah, people do crimes, but some of them do it because, not out of their own choice, but because of the circumstances they're in at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And at their core, they're still good people, and that they can, you know, be redeemed, basically, right?
Yeah. And I'm very happy that they kept that kind of vibe with the show. It's, okay, let's talk about one of the things that, like, really, like, caught our... Like, what was something that caught your eye, I guess? I think it's a better question.
Caught my eye.
Like, just caught you by surprise.
Well, I mean, I know it's not necessarily, like, about the story, necessarily, but I think the animation is definitely an interesting take.
Yeah, it's... Still, I remember hearing that it was supposed to be 2D. That it was originally supposed to be 2D, but it became, like, you know, 3D because of, it was, the sad part is, it was cheaper,
mm.
You know? That's the rumor I've been hearing around, and funny enough, I think the same studio that's making this is the same studio that made, The Clone Wars. Which is why I don't think it looks as bad as people say it looks, it's just, like, it's shaded in a very weird way.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's supposed to, I think it's the shading... And the colors are very reminiscent of old school Spider-Man, like
yeah.
That was it, Ditko era.
Yeah, the Ditko era.
Yeah, which I think is they have mentioned like that's kind of what they wanted to go for.
Mm.
And you know, there's moments where like sometimes it does look, yeah, this looks pretty neat. This is very nice, you know. And other times I think in motion of some shots of like, it's a little like maybe more time in the cooker, right?
And granted, this is just the first season. Because already the show's been kind of, like, renewed for two more.
See, now that's going to be interesting, and it does make me wonder... Because I feel like, I guess the other thing for me personally is, obviously, the setup for the show feels like a kind of extended what-if episode, right?
Yeah, I could see that.
Because, like, obviously, I mean, do you want to talk about, like, I guess the really, like, the biggest change of all?
Yeah,
that kind of separates... this from the MCU Spider-Man story?
Yeah, so instead of Tony being the one to come in and mentor Spidey, it's Norman Osborn. And that, and anyone, any fan, I would say like moderate fan, right?
Yeah.
Would see that and be like, oh, that's a problem because Green Goblin. And if you know that, you immediately start assuming things, but the way, because you're on episode 3, and I recall how that plays out, is that it doesn't seem like they're going that route yet.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as the episodes I have seen, it really does seem like this is a Norman that is probably before him going crazy. Like, he probably has those tendencies deep down.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you have Peter's friend, Nico, I think her name is,
Nico,
right?
Nico Minoria.
Yeah.
Who is, I forget her superhero name, but she is one of the Runaways.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
yeah.
Isn't she, like, part of, like, some other superhero group?
Yeah, she's part of the Runaways. And she kind of fills in the role of Peter's best friend, right?
Yeah.
And immediately, I remember when people, when this was announced, a lot of people were like, oh no, she's gonna be like the MJ. Like, no, that's not who Nico is. That's not what's gonna happen. I assure you that's not what's gonna happen. And you also, yeah, so she's kind of there, and I'll let you finish off where you're going.
Yeah, because I mean, I was gonna say that obviously the big difference with, I think, Norman in this version so far is that much like Tony, he is willing to help out Peter because obviously if you see like the main like splash art, it's Peter saving this guy, very reminiscent of the original Spider-Man issue, right?
Yeah, the Amazing Fantasy, and in that one, that's the thing I like about the intro. The intro, like, starts off with, like, a comic book cover.
Yeah, but, you know, he, like, pretty much Peter saved Harry. He didn't know it was Harry Osborn, and
no.
Now he's pretty much was like, I want to repay you for saving my son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it however I can, including, you know, because he's like, ah, Spider-Man saved my kid, let's find out who Spider-Man is. It's Peter Parker.
This random kid from Queens.
Yeah, and I want to help him out, right? And, you know, that sort of seems like what it's going to be, seems like, right? It seems like they're probably setting up Norman to be, like, kind of a guy in the chair for Peter, but also just, like, also a mentor, right?
Yeah.
In a sense, in the same way that Tony was.
Mm-hmm.
But it, obviously, yeah, I think it will be interesting if once we get into, like, potential, like,
Later seasons,
Green Goblin shenanigans, right?
They're really building up on that, and nothing that is the none is more apparent than that of Lonnie Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
Yeah, who it took me a while. Like, I heard the name, I was like, that's someone. And then at some point it clicked. I'm like, oh, it's, you know. Spoiler alert, it's Tombstone.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about this, at least a couple days ago, about, like, one of the characters being, like, a major Spider villain, but, like, you know, not at the moment. Because I heard about, like, oh, we have this character who, like, is going through this bit of a, I guess, like, inner gang sort of storyline, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to parallel, in a sense, like, Peter's rise to being Spider-Man, and, like, because Lonnie in this show is, like, a good friend.
Yeah, like, they definitely set up, like, this maybe dichotomy. He's the star quarterback football guy, and you're kind of like, oh, classic bully nerd scenario, right?
Yeah.
But especially since he's dating Peter's love interest in this show, I believe,
I hesitate to say love interest.
Yeah, his crush, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's not, like, hung up about it, which I'm kind of, thank God.
I mean, he gets a little hung up about it,
yeah.
But then when he meets Lonnie and, like, is, like, partnered up with him in class, he's like, oh, wait. Like,
this guy's cool.
Yeah, not only is this guy cool, he's smart, right? Like, it, you know, obviously does the stereotype of, like, oh, you thought, because, you know, I'm the quarterback, I'm just a big dumb guy. No, I'm actually smart. You know, he's,
He invites him to, like, the football parties.
Yeah, like he's straight, like, he's like, super supportive of Peter and stuff. It's like, yeah, man, go get him, Peter. Or you got that internship at Oscorp? Let's go, Peter.
Let's go!
Yeah, you know, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's so cool and so interesting. And then you get to how his brother has gotten caught up in a gang and how he's trying to get him out of that game, but they're like, nah. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You can't let him go that easy. He's like, fine, then I'll be part of your gang. And it's like,
yeah.
Uh-oh.
You know, you see, you get where, like, his downfall is coming, and it makes it all the more tragic, because, like, you see how much, like, of a good guy he's gonna be to Peter, how much of a friend he, and this is such Spider-Man writing.
Yeah, in a way, right?
Like, the tragedy of it all, it's, like,
it definitely harkens onto a lot of, like, Spider-Man villain sort of stuff. I mean, obviously, when you look into the movies and stuff, right, like, Doc Ock, for instance, that was his teacher, right? Basically, I mean, they use that all even in the Spider-Man PS4 game, right?
Yeah.
Like, the tragedy of, like, this man was someone I, like, knew, I cared about,
mm-hmm.
You know, I saw as a mentor figure, and now he's betrayed me, right? He's a...
Yeah.
I have to
which some people are like, oh, yeah, but I mean, they do that all the time in Spider-Man. It's not really often, plus these are characters who don't really have that kind of connection to Peter. Like, Lonnie Lincoln, Tombstone... He was always, in my memory, a friend of Robbie Robertson, the guy who's always with Jonah Jameson, who, like, is, like...
Yeah, I believe that was the case in the animated show, right?
Yeah,
back in
the 90s animated show, they emphasized that they were friends. And even in the comics, they're friends. Actually, funny enough, last time I checked, Tombstone's daughter... And Robbie's son are a thing.
That's
so they're doing like a Romeo and Juliet kind of
thing.
Yeah,
that's pretty
and
funny.
And even Tim's like, I'm not gonna listen, Robbie, I'm not gonna mess with you or your son because, like, that's my daughter.
Yeah.
Her happiness matters to me.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of like what he is in the comics, but here, having him be, like, his sort of pseudo, I wouldn't say pseudo best friend, but, like, pseudo brother.
Well, yeah, just a very supportive, like, friend, I guess. Like,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
like, ultra best friend, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think Nico kind of fills the role a bit, but, yeah, just, like, a friend that Peter has made unexpectedly and realizes, oh, this guy's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which
is going to make the downfall so much more tragic.
Yeah, because it's, like, clearly, you know, he has some issues with money and, like, you know, supporting his family, because obviously it feels like him being a football star, being smart, allows him to get opportunities to hopefully make sure his family is able to live off of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, you know, you set up that whole connection with I think, was it 105th Street Gang?
Yeah.
I think it's called?
And, like,
but knowing that this character will eventually go down the path of being Tombstone, this mobster guy, and, you know, it just sort of, like, this, you know, it is the tragedy of, like, you see a character that has so much going for their life, but then just one decision will ultimately change their life forever.
Which is such Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's... So this show, they introduced Ben as, like, already dead.
Which, I mean, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, sure. It's fine.
I mean,
it's
the same way in the MCU, right? Ben has already died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, they don't mention Ben as much, but, like, they definitely imply it. At least
yeah.
here you get the name drop.
I can totally see, by the end of the season, Lonnie becoming Tombstone, and this is the moment where, like, Peter eventually, like, learns the idiom of, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, man, that's going to be so fucking sick.
Yeah, that'd be I'm definitely intrigued to see that,
yeah,
right?
But they're really building off on the fact that you have to, that even if you don't know much about Spider-Man, you are going to be in this ride with us because of the stuff that you may already know from other, you know, media.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, I mean, there's a lot of people who I feel, like, yeah, Harry Osborn, Peter Parker's best friend since, like, childhood, and I'm like, they weren't really friends until college.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's always been one of the more, I think Spider-Man's sort of origins and, like, relationship with characters and stuff has always sort of been malleable
mm-hmm.
throughout the years, obviously.
But they're also one of the most important things about the character.
Yeah, like, those connections with his, you know, secondary cast, you know, obviously elevate Spider-Man mythos in
mm-hmm.
a way, right?
Yeah.
I will say, looking at it, it is interesting. Granted, like, I'm pretty sure this is a nothing thing until, I guess, later on in the season, I guess, or in, like, later potential plot lines, but obviously you have the opening of, like, how Peter gets his spider powers.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, because it's basically Doctor Strange fighting what appears to be a creature, like a symbiote-looking thing.
Yeah.
Right? Which is already kind of like, all right, well, that's already dropping symbiotes, potentially, in this, like,
at
story.
At some point, we're supposed to get Daredevil.
Yeah, he is supposed to show up here, voiced by Charlie Cox, isn't he?
And Kingpin.
Now, that is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I do wonder how that's all going to be tied in together. Well, I can see Kingpin's story maybe tying in, but, but yeah, no, but the thing is, out of that portal that Strange and the symbiote monster come out of is the spider that bites Peter,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting to me. It's an interesting way of having it go about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I guess, to be fair, we never get the Peter getting bit by a spider in the MCU, like, proper.
Yeah.
It just, you know,
but
in
you
the
wonder
movies,
that
he kind of hand waves it like, oh yeah, I got bit by a spider. I don't know how exactly it happened, but it just did.
It kind of makes you wonder if this is supposed to be, like, a prequel to the show, to the movies. How the hell were they going to explain it?
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely is,
because that's just a weird way to explain it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, me being the Spider-Man fan that I am, someone who's read the books, right? And I don't want to be, like, that guy.
Yeah.
But there is a moment where we're introduced to, like, the Spider-Verse, and there's, like, this creature that kills spiders. I forget her name. And the design for that symbiote-looking creature reminds me of that, so I'm thinking it's not a symbiote. I think it's probably that. but that's also just me theorizing, so don't take my word for it at all.
Don't quote him.
Don't ever quote me. That's my line. Yeah.
Quote that, though.
Quote that, yeah. Don't ever quote me.
But no, I think, if anything, I'm going to be that guy, though, and be like, isn't that just kind of, like, a weird, like, similar way of how Miles Morales got his powers in the Spider-Verse movies, though? Because his spider is from a different universe that bites him.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think of that one.
Which, I mean, that's just kind of weird, right? Both, you have two...
Pretty silly, if you ask me.
Yeah, I guess a little silly of, like, two separate, different animated Spider-Man properties.
Mm.
Right, both having basically not exactly the same, because obviously Miles' spider is through like scientific experimentation of the multiverse or whatever, and in this show, Peter's spider just shows up from a portal that Doctor Strange opened up.
Mm-hmm. But it's really big on the fact that you have to at least know the MCU.
Yes, and I think it's understandable, I guess, because it's like it's a Disney show, it's a, you know, a show on Disney Plus. And very clearly, the actor himself that plays Spider-Man is pretty much doing a Tom Holland impression.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, heck, even the suit is supposed to be what...
Reminiscent
of his homemade suit from the movies and stuff, so... And clearly, it's like aping in on a lot of MCU, I guess the correct term would be iconography?
Yeah.
Big word.
Big word.
It just means, like, symbols and stuff, don't worry about it. You know, just relying on that, right? But also, you know, it draws you in because it's like, okay, this is MCU Spider-Man stuff, and it's like, oh, hold on, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, heck, even, I have seen a clip of what I assume is from, like, later episodes of the Civil War stuff happening, with Spider-Man not being involved because...
It's weird.
He doesn't meet Tony Stark, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a whole thing. You know, so I do wonder just how many more divergent turns this show will take from the MCU canon, right?
But like I said, I think that's kind of like the charm of it. It's like it's banking on the fact that you have to at least know some stuff, and they're kind of going more with the MCU because it's the more popular one, and that's the one that they're just their origin is supposed to be. I feel like as we go along, since we now have two more seasons coming up, go through it, they're gonna start doing less and less of MCU synergy.
Yeah, it will be interesting to get to a point where it does, diverge truly and just be truly its own thing. Obviously, with the amount of characters they have that do have comic ties, I mean, heck, we have, the Lizard here, but the obviously big difference is that, Kirk Connors in this version is a woman. I forget her first name.
I forgot.
But we know it's Dr. Connors,
because
she has the missing arm and everything. She works on, I think, biotech.
Yeah.
So it's like, clearly, we will be getting maybe a Lizard version at some point, which, I mean...
That would be crazy to see.
Yeah, especially because in this time, you know, in this show, right, like, Connors, again, a mentor figure to Peter, she's teaching him, right, at the internship at Oscorp, you know, like, clearly, you know...
You know what's funny? There's that other professor guy that's in there who's kind of like a dick. I was like, is that who I think it is? And I looked it up. No, it's not.
Ah, damn. Because here's the thing. Obviously, we have, like, villains, obviously, in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much these random goons that have, like, tech that's, like, built and stuff. Some guy has, like, some flamethrowers. He had this couple that had, like one dude has, like, super speed boots. The other one had, like, these weird energy blades. And, you know, they all have these same symbols. And Peter's like, oh, that's weird. Same symbol. And I'm like, is that supposed to be a Tinker? Is the Tinker involved in all this?
I'm going to answer that question and tell you no, but you're going to like who it is.
Okay. Because here's the thing, too. I was thinking that dude, you were talking about the dickhead, scientist guy at Oscorp, I thought he might be the Tinkerer.
I thought he was the Jackal.
Interesting. I didn't think about that.
I don't know why I thought, maybe because of the way he's designed.
Maybe, yeah, he does have a creepy look like that.
Yeah, I was like, if it's the Jackal, I don't like where this is going.
Well, I would have loved where it was going.
Yeah, because you want to see you want people to be upset about the Clone Saga more.
Well, yeah, it's very funny.
So funny how we both want chaos, but in different ways.
Yes, because my version of chaos is funnier, and your version of chaos is lame.
I just want Remy in Street Fighter 6.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
one of the other characters from Third Strike.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember him. He's the guy that looks like a clown, isn't he?
No.
Damn it.
That's Necro.
You're right. That is Necro.
I want him in, too.
That would be fun.
No, Remy's a normal-looking guy.
Oh, okay. I think I remember what you're talking about. Doesn't he have, like, long hair?
Yeah.
Like, okay. He wears black? All right.
Yeah.
I got it. I got it now.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't like him, but I want him in.
You know what I want?
What?
I want Marvel's Capcom 4.
Don't we all?
Yeah. To bring it right back.
Bring it right back.
We're always circling things around, but
I've said it before, if it's not KI, it's gonna be something.
Yeah. I will say, because I think when the show was announced and we're hearing this stuff, I was kind of eh on it. Like,
I think a lot of people were, especially when they saw and they heard how the animation was gonna be.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, it was one of those things of like, we'll probably watch it for the show. Watch it for the podcast, and I, you know, maybe that'll be it. But it's kind of like I kind of just want to watch more of it now because
they wrap you in a way that makes you want to keep watching.
Yeah, right. It's like there's
interesting story elements and like just Peter being a genuine superhero again.
Yeah, you know, street level superhero. I mean, obviously the fact that I kind of forgot we are getting. Daredevil and Kingpin cameos, I guess.
Mm.
It's gonna be interesting to see how that works.
I think it's also because like the last few Spider-Man shows were not as well received.
Yeah, from Disney because
there was the Ultimate Spider-Man with Drake Bell.
And that was
a tough one.
Yeah, it was.
I watched the show and I was like, this is a slouch.
I think I remember the one bit where Deadpool shows up in that show,
and
it's just like Spider-Man's already breaking the fourth wall here, and then you have the actual guy who breaks the fourth wall, Deadpool, and it's just like, ugh. This is just all kinds of annoying.
Yeah, I know. And then there was the,
The 2017 Spider-Man,
Was it 2017?
I think so, yeah.
And that one just... Like, I don't think the art design... Like, I've seen the art for it, and I think the art is good on paper. But the way it's animated, it's... So flat.
Yeah, that's what I felt about that.
It's so flat.
Like, it had that same homogenous art style that all the other MCU shows at that time, or not MCU shows, but Marvel, like, TV, like, cartoons or whatever, had at the time, and it's just like, ugh, I just don't like the way it looks.
This pseudo-flat anime look.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because, like, I'm like, these are supposed to be more expressive. This is Man of Action. These girls are good.
Yeah, Ben 10.
Ben 10? Omniverse.
But yeah, obviously the thing with that one too was the fact that like it's Peter going to this school, but you have Gwen, Miles, I forget the other character, but
Anya,
like they're all spider people.
There's so many spider people on there,
and it's just like this feels like so. It's just like the setting is Peter being Spider-Man in a school with like his best friends are all spider people too. Like what?
Like you don't give them enough room to breathe. And some of the decisions I wasn't against, like, they had Patton Oswalt as Ben.
Uncle Ben. Yeah. That,
I'm
yeah,
like,
smart,
yeah.
Smart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
that's
all good.
Like, yeah. He's such a big nerd. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, it was just, like I don't mind Peter being with other spider people. But really, that only amounts to Miles.
Yeah. Like, I always felt it being really weird. Even I think some of the comics have started to do this a little bit of like having Gwen Stacy Spider-Man, like, you know, Spider-Gwen or whatever, being part of like the main MCU, or like just main Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Instead of her being in her own separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it just seems like,
why are you here?
It just seems kind of, I get, like, obviously Spider-Gwen is super popular.
Yeah.
Like, it makes 100% sense why they want her included more and stuff. It just feels weird because of how, like, because how many. Like, obviously, I think they had to have mentioned, like, the, like, mainline Peter.
They have, and she's like, I'm not your Gwen.
It's like, cool. That's it, right?
But why do you keep showing up?
Yeah, it's like, this just seems weird. Because how does Gwen's parents feel about this? Sometimes there's just a lady. But she, like, there's so many interesting, I guess there's interesting ways of, like, maybe incorporating it. And it's just like.
But it still comes off weird.
Yeah, it feels just more like, people like her, put it in because of the marketing.
And I think it's because, like, people, like, treat. There are weird people who treat like Gwen Stacy being like his long lost love or whatever, instead of just being like he's fine, he moved on.
Yeah, I think that's also a weird thing too of like people at least people being like you can't do this for Gwen Stacy's death. It's so important in the mythos of Spider-Man, and it's like I mean,
he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine at this point. Like, it's been, like, so many years.
Yeah. Like, he still, like, blames himself for letting it happen, but, like, that's different from, like, him, like, crying in the corner, like, when, or whatever.
Yeah, like, damn you, goblin. Which is why the Jackal storyline would be very funny and excellent. I think it would be very interesting. It should be in more movies. Have it be part of, like, the next Tom Holland, you know,
him away from
trilogy.
Me.
Yeah, it makes sense to
I
me.
I will kill anyone who does this.
I'm all for
not
it.
Really. Yeah. I will find a way to hurt you. But no, for me, it's just... but for this show, it's like, one, the animation, while being kind of awkward for some, I like how colorful it is. It's much more expressive, it's more unique, and they're kind of doing... They're letting Peter be himself. they're not being so reliant on him just being tied up with other people, other superheroes. Because the Ultimate Spider-Man, he was like the leader of a couple of superheroes. He had like Power Man, no, Luke Cage, White Tiger, and Iron Fist. And then he moved on to a Spider-themed team.
Yeah, I think that's also probably a good thing. Heck, even within the terms of the MCU, right? Like, because for those first two movies, I think that was always one of the criticisms. Like, Spider-Man feels he's too attached to Iron Man, right?
Mm.
Like,
well, I feel like in the first movie it made more sense.
Yeah, obviously it made more sense, but point being, like, it just felt kind of nice, especially with Homecoming, right? Or not Homecoming, No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that sort of, you know, this way of like, you know, Iron Man, you know, because he's dead in the universe, right? Like, it just it feels like neat to have Peter just, you know, having to deal with his own problems, basically, right?
Yeah, and we're not saying he needs to be alone and suffering.
No, because that would make you a monster. Whoever does that, like, for instance, taking away his marriage because they felt he was no longer relatable, who would do such a thing?
The signs tell you enough.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's neat. I think the show's neat. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of pleasantly surprised by it. I think I'll watch a bit more of it, right?
Do you want to talk about the comments from the actor? Because that was always really weird for me.
I guess because the main actor for Spider-Man, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he mentioned something about like how proud he was about working on the show, and then he felt it wasn't. Like, he was glad it wasn't woke or anything like that.
Yeah.
Not to get too into...
No. It's just a term now that's just been thrown around that means nothing.
Yeah. That whole shebang. But it's like, well, straight up, I think Nico confirms to be a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm. At least, you know.
Or at least bi, because she mentions that she's into Pearl as
mm-hmm.
well. Also, I mean, there's already been some... culture vultures, as I sometimes like to call them, talking about, like, why is Kurt Connors a woman in this thing now? Or this
who cares?
You know, it's like, God, like, who...
She's still gonna be a lizard monster at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, straight up, it's one of those... I guess it's one of those things of, like, you know, if a character's identity is important, is not as, you know, super important to how they are and their relationships and stuff like that, then I think I'm okay with some of the changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you can't make the Black Panther a white guy because, you know, Black Panther's whole thing is being an African superhero with ties to Africa and stuff.
Yeah.
It just seems very, it'd be very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Grant, like, we've got something I'll bring up of, I think we talked about this a while ago, Namor in the MCU, right? I remember we talked about how they were changing his origin and, like, his whole style to be more based on Mayan stuff, right?
Mm.
And we were kind of just like, I don't know how we feel about this. It could be good, but, you know, don't, you know, hopefully it doesn't mess up. And then when Black Panther Wakanda Forever came out, I think you and I were both like, that's a great way of doing Namor.
Yeah.
Straight up freaking the Marvel Rivals game has him calling himself Namor,
mm-hmm.
you know, how he says it in the movie.
Yeah, because everyone agrees that, like, that was a really, like, cool change. It's all about how genuine you want to be about it.
Yeah, like, that is, like, okay, you know, could Namor have been a white guy? Yeah, but making him, like, this Mayan, like, dude who calls himself Kukulkan and shit, You know, that's fucking cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's
like,
nice.
Yeah. You know, it's stuff like that where it's like, you can have those interesting changes.
Yeah.
But other times, I probably will agree, like, eh, they just do it because, why not?
Why not?
Right? Like, again, like, this is even part of the main MCU anyway.
What I found interesting about that comment is, like, why are we throwing out this word that means, that basically means nothing now? And, like, if you watch the show, I mean, it has those elements that that someone would complain about.
I mean, yeah, heck, one of our main characters is a, you know, young African-American male who is a football player trying to increase, having to go through, like, inter-gang struggles. But heck, again, like we mentioned earlier, Spider-Man stopping a robber, but then instead of, like, punishing them and sending them to jail, understands their socioeconomic situation and explains that to the owner and then just lets them go free. Because they understand that, yeah, I've been put in a bad situation,
mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of stuff. Which is, I think,
the most normal thing to do.
Yeah, the most normal thing to do, but for some certain people would be like, acknowledging that sort of social, political stuff is what some people would call woke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, whatever, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, I don't think it really matters.
No.
Because
the show's still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, if that's, like, your only issue is that, I'm like, then there really isn't much of an issue.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Well, I think we wrapped this up pretty well.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you go watch it, like, we didn't really break down any of the episodes, we just, like, said our piece. And, yeah, we'll probably be back when the show's over.
Yeah, I
want to watch more of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued to see how it all sort of,
mm-hmm.
You know, fills out by the end of the season.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm glad that Marvel's back with their animation because now they're like 2 for 2. Well,
let's wait till the season finishes before we go on 2 for 2 because obviously X-Men 97
was pretty big.
Grand slam, right? Like straight up. Right?
Yeah.
Can't wait for more of that.
Yeah.
And same thing with your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Also, I forgot to mention the What If, and that kind of ended in a.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, What If.
We'll talk about that one day.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe not the whole show, but.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you guys have enjoyed Jeremy Sherry, follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, We're most active on Instagram, where you find a link to all the podcasts that are official part of, like, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like. And there you'll find a link tree to our YouTube, where you can like, comment, subscribe, and follow us for those of you who want to see. You're gonna hear the face, you'll see the face of the voice, and a Patreon for any form of support. And yeah, that's about it. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. And it's me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
Have a good one. Peace.